chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning with verse 1. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not be enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. They filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for us, the people of Christ. Thanks be to God. I don't imagine that I feel all that much differently than you do today. I feel a deep sadness. A sadness that wants to cling to me like a cold, wet towel. Something that you believe you should just be able to pull off, but it just keeps pulling back. It is the sadness of scarcity. Our loss of Dalton and Edie early Saturday morning has left me feeling like life is scarce. I don't know how else I could really expect to feel. A 21-year-old and a 19-year-old lost their lives before they were fully started. I think when I was 21, I felt like I was an old man. But now at 51, I think that's right, I realize that they really were just beginning to live. And that saddens me. I've pondered the hurt that their families must feel, and my soul is grieved. And I'm confronted in my sadness today by this gospel lesson. Today, this day, in the shadow of death, when life seems so scarce and that shadow seems so near, we hear that the Son of God transforms scarcity into abundance. We are saddened today, but there is still life in us. It may seem that we have about 5 loaves and 2 small fish worth of life left today. It seems a small amount in the midst of such pain and death, such hunger for life. But if we will trust Jesus and trust what life we have left together into His hands, into the hands of one who fed a crowd the size of Manning with what amounted to a Happy Meal, if we will trust the life we have into His hands, dear ones, the life He will give back to us will fill us to overflowing and will then spill into the hearts and lives of those around us who are hurting. Dare we trust this Jesus with all that we have left? The myth that the enemy has fed us all along has been the myth of scarcity. That there isn't enough bread. That there isn't enough life. That there isn't enough resource. That there isn't enough hope. That there isn't enough. But the risen Christ stands in our midst today to say, "Trust me with what you have." Whatever life or faith you have left in you, give it to me. And watch what I do. When the crisis came and Jesus asked Philip to go and find bread, it was because He wanted His disciples to know that without Him they were powerless to do anything. But with Him, the world can shift. And those people that day that He fed came to a conclusion about Him that He was the one that Moses had said God would raise up in their midst and that they should listen to Him. I wonder, dear ones, have we seen enough of the work of Christ in our lives to trust Him with what little life and hope we might have left this day? Because I promise you, and in His hands, it is enough. In His hands, it is far more than enough. In the hands of Christ, the life and love that you have left today is more than enough for Him to use it to bring healing not just to the Page and Osteen families, but to this whole community, to the state, to the world. The loss that we are experiencing today can and will be redeemed. And God intends to use our meagerness to do it. To raise up out of us words of life. Paul's prayer for us is that we would be filled with the fullness of God. I hope you heard that. That prayer that he writes to the church at Ephesus isn't just for them. It's for all who would trust Christ with themselves. That they would be filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Not filled with fear of scarcity or fear of death. Not filled with lack. But filled with love. 5 loaves. And 2 small fish. Yet they gathered what was left over. 12 baskets full. God, you see, can do far more than we can ask or imagine. Is it too much? Is it simply naive? Is it too much to expect that the one who is in Christ Jesus reconciling himself to the world might step into this moment and reconcile it to himself as well? Is it too much to expect that the risen Christ might work yet another miracle in this place, in this town? That in the weeks ahead, as we are all confronted with our mortality, is it too much to expect that Jesus might use our little to transform a multitude of hearts, to bring about the salvation and eternal life of many souls? Is it too much for us to expect that God can use something so horrible to redeem others? Is it too much to expect that God can use death to bring life? Is it too much to expect that the Holy Trinity can take our loaves and fishes and turn them into nourishing bread? For 5,000 people in a town called Manning, is it too much to expect that this same Jesus who had compassion on that crowd would have compassion on us? Oh, that we would desire that God would truly be glorified in us. Then we would withhold nothing from God. We would freely let go of whatever life we are clinging to and trusted into His hands. And then, dear ones, we might truly live. Have a prop today. I almost forgot to bring it. It's a twig, a cutting. How many of you cut plants and root them? Anybody? A few people. Do you really? That's awesome, man. Out of mouths of babes, right? Paul said, I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power that is in God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your heart, through faith as you are being rooted. I remember being a child in springtime. I had to drink some of this water. And I remember that one of the rites of passage of springtime in my childhood was arriving at my grandmother's house, and her kitchen windowsill looked like that. Anybody else? And there would be a whole row of either Bama jelly jars, little mason jars, whatever little piece of glass you could find. You didn't root stuff in Tupperware, apparently. And she would put that little twig in that water. And she put something in it called Rutone. I don't even know if you can get that stuff anymore. My dad says you can. It's probably, you know, banned in 12 countries by now or something. Seemed like everything grandparents used end up causing cancer, right? George Sink suing everybody over it. And if I hadn't heard Miss Charlotte talking about how she saw some hedges getting cut that were getting overgrown or something, I think it might have been at her house, I would have forgotten to bring this in. And I bring this in because, dear ones, right now we probably feel a little bit like this twig, don't we? Cut off from the hope of life. That we could ever feel joy again, that we could ever feel happy again. We worry about the Page family and the Osteen family. Will they be able to feel joy again? And our hearts are broken for them. And they in our sight and we in God's sight are a lot like this cutting. We feel cut off and torn away. But God's intention is to place us into the love of Christ so that we might be rooted and grounded in that love and live. And dear ones, while we hurt today, it is not the end. So I implore you, search yourself for what life is left in you and for this promise that you are being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, and give your whole self into the hands of God for God's use to redeem this horrible thing that has come to us. Because Christ is more powerful than Rutan. We will grow roots again. Life-giving water will flow here. There will be hope. There will be joy. There will be laughter. But in this season, we will grieve. And we will uphold those that we love as if the loss were our own. And we will trust our lives and their lives into the beautiful hands of Christ. Because, dear ones, what did Paul say to us? To him who by the power at work within us, do you hear that, church? To God whom by the power at work in you is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can imagine or ask. To him be glory in the church. Let us trust ourselves and what life we feel we have left today into the hands of Almighty God, so that the risen Christ may work in and through us and bring out abundance, the abundance of joy and life and love. And dear ones, there will be laughter here again. For we are the people of this nourishing and rooting and grounding God. I promise you these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.